Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Seth Richardson. He's now with the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Warren Hardy, Elisa Cafferata, and Mindy Elliott. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
The 5th Annual Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Valley Electric Association, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and Capital Partners.
Say nice floors for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance, custom home design, we have the largest selection of fresh flowers in North Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, a St. Ives florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Seth Richardson, former political reporter for the Reno Gazette-Journal, now political reporter for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Welcome, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, you know, I wanted to get your take, first of all, on the events in Las Vegas over the last couple of days, because we've seen it from inside, and I'm kind of curious to see, you know, what it looks like from Ohio.
I've got a bit of a unique perspective, just having both lived in the state and now living outside of it just a couple months later. I was pretty shocked and distraught. I think everybody's kind of feeling that same way all around. At least the newsroom were just kind of, I don't know what the right word is for a situation like this, but, baffled would be one way to describe it. You know, like, how could this happen? And I think even politicians were, quick to sort of come and say, oh my God, what's going on here? That said, I believe it's also, as with any time that these things happen, I think people are, getting on their partisan divide now pretty quickly.
Yeah. Also, I think, to me, the biggest story has been the response of the people of Las Vegas. When this initially occurred, of course, they put out a call for blood donations, and people were standing in line for 8 hours, not being able to give blood even after 8 hours, coming back the next day and doing it. It seems like the whole community, from where the caricature is Sin City, the reality is that this is a real community of real people who care about each other and about the visitors to their town. And when something like this happens, they respond in the way that you would hope people would respond.
And I think it's worth also noting, obviously I covered I was from the north. I lived in Reno. But I think it's very telling how many people also in the north went out and said, no, we want to help. Nevada, it can be very regional, north versus south and all that. None of that, at least anything that I saw, was on display. There was none of that regionalism. Everybody went out and said, hey, what do we need to do to help? What do we need to remedy this right now? And what do we need to do going forward? And I think everybody across the nation is really getting that message. You've really seen a lot of it on the TV. There's the story about the guy who stole a truck to transport people to the hospital. You keep having these stories coming out where people are helping in any way that they can. I think that is a good side of Nevada that people are seeing, especially when it does have this reputation of Sin City. Frankly, it sucks that it had to happen. You know, this had to happen for that to kind of come out. But it is one of those, good things in a bad situation that people can look at and say, wow, these people are really coming together and just helping in any way that they can.
And also the guy who took the truck did return it to his owner after the fact. So that's a good thing there. Hey, I want to change subjects on you, Seth. John Kasich. It's such a story. I mean, you know, we all interviewed him when he was here in Northern Nevada, in the last presidential cycle. I've never seen anybody running for president without declaring it so hard in all my life.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is you talk to his inner circle, and granted, I've only been here a couple months, but even talking with, you know, some of the reporters who've been here a while, but I've been meeting with his inner circle, and even there, kind of like, well, we don't know if he's running. I mean, it might seem like he's running, but we legitimately have no idea. And I think he is, the term I would use right now, keeping his options open. I would say his options are very open right now. Now, whether he can be effective is another question, because you also have to remember, while he was this sort of figure of the Republican sort of resistance side, the Never Trumpers and whatnot, it's not like he did all that well in the primary. I mean, he didn't win a whole lot of states. I mean, even in Arizona, he came in fourth in a three-way race. So it's not like he's this, uber popular figure who kind of transcends everything. And it's not like Trump is necessarily unpopular with Republicans. So really finding his lane is kind of the more difficult approach. I mean, is it a unity ticket of sorts? Is it primarying Trump? I mean, there was the whole rumor about him joining up with Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper. That doesn't really seem like it's going to work. And if you start reading some of the publications on the right, and not even the far right, kind of the establishment right, even they're kind of like, what is John Kasich doing here? Like, why is this happening? There was an article, I believe it was in the National Review, that compared him to the classic Saturday Night Live sketch, The Thing That Wouldn't Go Home. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's John Belushi. He's a house guest. He just won't leave. He won't take the hint. And they were kind of comparing him to that. So it's hard to see where his support is actually coming from right now.
Seth, you mentioned something I want to go back on, back to, is that, Governor Kasich has flatly denied a joint unity ticket with his fellow governor from Colorado, who you mentioned, John Hickenlooper. How is that going down? Is it what's the substance to those rumors coming out of Ohio?
I think everybody thinks that the unity ticket idea isn't going to happen. I mean, frankly, if we're going pure speculation, I think more people would, I think a more likely scenario would actually be Kasich and Sandoval teaming up as a Republican primary team than Kasich and Hickenlooper teaming up as a unity ticket. It could be, and Kasich and Sandoval are, good friends. That said, I don't think that's necessarily going to happen either. I just think it's more likely than Kasich teaming up with, a Democrat as this kind of unity ticket, because one, why would a Democrat want to jump onto a quote unquote unity ticket when Democrats are sitting very pretty right now as far as the historical trends go? So it doesn't make much sense there from a Democratic perspective. Most of the people in Ohio, they don't think a unity ticket's necessarily going to come either. And I mean, his reputation in Ohio is a bit different than it is kind of nationwide as well. I mean, nationwide, he's sort of seen as this, almost nonpartisan figure, reaching across the aisle and all that. That's not necessarily the case here because, Ohio did go for Trump by 8 points. You know, Kasich won the primary, but Donald Trump won the election here by 8 points. There are a lot of Donald Trump fans here. It's that whole kind of Rust Belt situation right there. And I think a lot of people, especially in the Republican Party, are really miffed that he has, come out so publicly against the president. He's really been one of the major foils for the president within the Republican Party. I mean, just the other day, he said that if they kind of keep going down this path, he's not sure if the Republican Party is even in his future.
Right.
And that, I guess would be a greater indication of him maybe trying to make his own sort of Ross Perot style independent run. But I mean, really, it's all still just kind of up in the air. I mean, what exactly he's going to do.
It was also interesting that as John McCain, when he came back to the Senate, lectured the Senate on that they weren't getting things done. Kasich seems to be kind of on that same road. And now I guess he's going to do some kind of joint thing with Joe Biden in the near future. You know, do you think that this is, you know, a potential third party run?
I could see Kasich making a third party run. I do think the it's much more likely that he tries to primary Trump and tries to get the adults, quote unquote, out to vote for him. He's kind of tried to play himself up as that. And, you know, keep in mind that Trump won in a field of 17 candidates. That's a lot of candidates. I mean, he didn't, you know, take an overwhelming majority in a whole lot of states. I mean, he did win pretty big in Nevada, but he didn't get over the 50% threshold there in that caucus. So if he sees an opening where he thinks he can beat him one-on-one, I think that's a more likely scenario than necessarily trying to, you know, go with that independent sort of Ross Perot style, like I said, and try to siphon voters from either side, because that generally doesn't work. I mean, the last person who got any electoral votes going that route, I believe, was George Wallace, if I'm not mistaken, and that was all kind of that Southern Bloc vote. So it would make more sense for him to go within the Republican Party, because he does have supporters. They're very prominent supporters. He's got fundraisers there, people who will, you know, raise money for him. I don't think there's, you know, a whole lot of love lost for Donald Trump, who's attacked pretty much everyone, whereas Kasich has built relationships with a lot of people. So that seems like a more likely route for him going forward.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Seth Richardson, formerly the political reporter for the Reno Gazette Journal, now with the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
You know, one of the comments, Seth, about Kasich that perked my interest is when he was talking about neither party cares about poor people. And in those comments, he was referencing both Nevada Senator Dean Heller and Governor Brian Sandoval. So could you give us some background on what exactly he was talking about when he mentioned those two politicians from Nevada?
Well, I think he's frustrated right now because he talks about, you know, his state of mind is the Democrats don't know what they're doing. They don't have any sort of message right now that's talking to the working people. And the Republicans, I mean, you look at Dean Heller coming out in favor of the Obamacare repeal, which Sandoval was very blatantly, you know, against that repeal, very bluntly said, no, I can't support something like this. And Kasich and Sandoval were very much aligned on that. They sent letters out to senators. They sent letters out to just about everyone that said, hey, don't do this. We cannot cut Medicaid like this because poor people will be kicked off of insurance. So I think what he's saying is that you look at how many of those, you know, that came very close to passing. Like people, you know, they think back now, it's like, oh, John McCain, I mean, you know, he voted no. And that's, you know, yeah, okay, but it was really down to the wire. People didn't really know until he kind of went up and gave the thumbs down. I mean, there were still people who were like, oh, my God, he might go, yes, this repeal might happen at, you know, I guess 2:30 in the morning my time. And I think what he's saying is that he kind of views himself as a compassionate conservative. He's always viewed, you know, especially mental health. You know, his brother's had mental health challenges in the past. So he's been a big advocate of mental health. A lot of that is funded through Medicaid. And he sees these attempts to really undermine the social safety net as just really going after poor people. And then he also sees the Democrats, who are focusing more on social issues and the like, or what he would describe as focusing more on social issues, and just, you know, not coming up with an economic plan to get people back to work, to get money in people's hands. So he's saying that, you know, most of the people, they don't, you know, both parties don't exactly have an answer for poor people, and they're not caring about them.
You know, how on the popularity scale, where would you rate Kasich in Ohio?
Well, it's interesting because he's pretty relatively popular, all things considered. I think his popularity sits about 60%, thereabouts, maybe a little lower than that. But his popularity within the Republican Party in Ohio is dwindling because, again, he's been, you know, very outspoken against Trump, and Ohio was pretty big Trump state. That's also kind of interesting here. There's the state Republican Party. Trump actually got involved in the chairman election here. So the chairman was a guy named Matt Borges, and he was a Kasich backer, a very big Kasich ally. He was very lukewarm on Trump. The elections came up, and Donald Trump actually went around calling Central Committee members, trying to install his own chairperson. Ended up being Jane Timken, who won. She was Trump-backed and wasn't a Kasich backer. So I think you see a little bit of a break with even the state party here, just because those sort of Trump elements have gotten in there, and because they've been so publicly, you know, there is such a big divide between Trump and Kasich publicly. So overall, I would say pretty popular, especially for a second term governor. Within the party, it's definitely dwindling a little bit.
And that kind of mirrors the Sandoval relationship with the Republican Party here in the state, too. That's where we got to leave it. Seth Richardson, pleasure to have you back on the program, sir. Please come back soon.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, and we'll be right back.
The 5th Annual Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Valley Electric Association, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and Capital Partners.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mindy Elliott is here, partner with Capital Partners. Elisa Cafferata is lobbyist with Planned Parenthood. And former State Senator Warren Hardy is a principal with the Hardy Consulting Group. Great to have you all here. Wanted to just talk about some of the changes in state government that have been going on. Mindy, for a time you were the head of business and industry. Now C.J. Manthey has taken over from Bruce Breslow. Your thoughts on that?
C.J. is she's a good administrator. She's, you know, better. She's certainly, I believe, she's also an accountant, and that's something that you really need to have a finance background when you're running business and industry. Not taking anything away from Bruce Breslow, he did a good job. But because of all the intricacies within the multitude of agencies, you really need to have a strong financial background. So CJ will do a good job. She has a good head on her shoulders, and she'll I'm sure she'll carry the torch just fine for Governor Sandoval.
And Elisa, it's interesting that Bruce has now moved over to the PUC for a four-year term over there. Your thoughts on that?
Right. Well, I agree with Mindy. We need good folks. And I think this is fairly typical what you see in the end of an administration, that folks are you know, sort of moving on to additional positions. I was at a conference one time at the end of Obama's term, and he said the president, staffer said the president handed out a slip of paper that says a lot of really important stuff happens in the last, you know, 5 minutes of the game. So, you know, we're still doing important work. And I think that that's what the governor is going to do with some of his new folks. And Bruce Breslow has a pretty big job at the PUC. There's a lot that they're going to be considering.
Yeah, Warren, I mean, the PUC is going to be lightning focus for the next couple of years, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be absolutely key as we move as a state towards renewable energy and that sort of thing. That the decisions that the PUC makes are going to be absolutely among the most critical. And so I think that was a good appointment. Bruce has proven himself in all those capacities. And, you know, the governor's looking at legacy-type issues now and making sure he leaves the House in order. And so I think that's partially what he's doing with these changes.
Well, you know, one of the things that concerns me as you know, NV Energy is likely not to be the same company it is today, is who is going to be the provider of last resort? Who's going to be the one that guarantees that at whatever point power's coming to your house? Mindy?
I don't disagree with you. There's a lot of – it's very malleable right now. But I do think that NV Energy is going to have a huge role to play in the future of Nevada and where it goes. And you can already see them moving – in multitudes of directions relative to the types of power, how they're positioning themselves. But you're right. What it looks like 5 years from now, it's anyone's guess. And then the PUC, as Elisa and Warren have stated, are going to play an incredible role as the energy changes, energy providers change in the state.
Although, didn't they pass a bill in the 2015 session to remove several key decisions, energy decisions, out of the PUC's purview? It's not my area of expertise, and I didn't follow that bill, but I know that not all of the decisions about renewables actually are going to go through the PUC anymore. So I think this is where...
Yeah, but what they maketh, they can also taketh away.
Well, I think this is where term limits really impact us, because we don't have people in the legislature that have the expertise, not only in the industry, but in how government deals with industry. And I think we had some of that expertise before. We do have some people in the legislature that has some of it, but not maybe the government piece.
Like Senator Townsend.
Or Sean Whaley at this point.
Or Sean Whaley. That's another person, yes. And Warren Hardy, you have a lot of expertise down there, Senator.
Well, I think the point that Elise makes is so important, because, you know, we term limits has not been a good thing in terms of institutional knowledge from the legislature. When it first happened, I said, you know, we're not going to get any good, solid, quality people wanting to run for the legislature. That's proven not to be true. We've gotten some extraordinary people into the legislature. But to have that institutional knowledge and that breadth of knowledge is going to be a challenge going forward. There's no question about it. It doesn't have anything to do with competency. It has to do with institutional knowledge and experience. It puts bureaucrats and lobbyists in a much stronger position, which I really opposed when I was a legislator, not so much as now that I'm a lobbyist.
Okay, and on that note, let's leave this and let's pick up this discussion on our next broadcast. We'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet. delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On the next broadcast, we'll continue the conversation with Warren Hardy, principal with the Hardy Consulting Group. We'll see you then.